All right, from Studio Live in beautiful Cumberland, BC, you're listening to the Edible Valley Podcast. I'm chef and host Jonathan Fraser.
And I'm your co-host, Darren Howlett. We'd like to thank you for joining us again as we explore the food culture of the Comox Valley and beyond.
Excellent. Well, I'd like to welcome all the listeners back. And today we're going to get into dining a little bit and talk a little bit about pop-up dinners.
Right.
I think it's something we've done a few for the the podcast here, just as a little way to make some money to help cover our costs of, of doing the episodes and recording and editing and promoting and keeping a site running and all those fun things that go along with podcast aren't part of cooking or as in what we like to talk about. So that was one way we thought we'd be a great way to do some fundraising was to get some people in and get them really energized about the food of our valley and
absolutely
and some of the things we can do with it. Anyways, I just thought we could get into a little bit of conversation about this just today, the subject of other pop-up dinners and underground dinners and, and where people can go to do this. Or
For sure. For me, I mean, I'm probably late to the game. I think that aside from the two that we did one, what, a year and a half ago, and then one probably about 2.5 years ago?
I would say it was more like 3 years ago.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Okay.
We're talking probably around the 50s, the 40s and 50s in episodes. So.
All right. Wow. Yeah, so aside from those, I had done, I attended one probably a year before that. And before that, I wasn't even really aware of them. I mean, I'd sort of heard them. And I think a few of my friends and maybe my brother and I had at one point talked about how cool the idea of it would be. But I think it was sort of right around the time when that was apparently just starting. I think people were doing such things. We just weren't aware of it.
Well, I think that's, and maybe just to share with our listeners, what we sort of consider a pop-up dinner or an underground dinner would be one of those dinners that's sort of a little tucked away, probably at someone's house, someone's garden, somewhere industrial, a workshop or something like those lines, you know, just somewhere a little out there that you wouldn't expect to be eating dinner. Everyone just comes together and puts a beautiful meal together.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of great...
Yeah, I mean, I think it would also, there's a lot of, I look at them too, I perceive them more as like a one-night restaurant. Like, it's a restaurant in every which way. You're getting a chef or a budding chef, somebody that's learning cookery in some way, or somewhat, you know, whoever's leading the charge usually knows what they're doing. And it's like one night of a restaurant, but that place doesn't exist tomorrow, you know?
Right.
It's that one shot menu kind of idea, which
maybe one, maybe 2 days and then it's gone.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And they can be fantastic because, you know, instead of being bound by, having to maintain a full prep list and what have you, like people can, you know, I think that's what the lure for some of the chefs to do these is like, they can just one night, just take those ingredients of that day and do their thing, you know?
Well, that's it. And I think that as a chef, it's great to gain that exposure just to, like when you're doing these dinners, it's about your name. It's about you, your food and your creativity.
Right.
So I think you get that avenue just to step up there and take out your dish and you get to work with the freshest of ingredients, or I'm hoping you are.
Right.
Whereas when you're in a restaurant, sometimes you feel like a little bit like I have this on the menu because people like this.
Right.
So you have to maintain that and keep that standard of that dish.
Right.
Whereas this gives you a bit of more chance to have a little bit more freedom, I think.
Yeah, it's a little, I can see where it'd be a little, maybe more experimental or just off the cuff. Like you can make last minute changes. You're not bound to your menu. Or if, you know, if you were in a restaurant as a chef, you're not bound to that menu. It's more a spirit of the moment kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I, like I said, the one that I went to as a guest and then the ones that we've put on, you know, I love them. I think that they're fantastic.
I mean,
I think I've been pushing you to do another one for a while, partially because I think that we need to do a little more fundraising, but also partially because I just like the whole environment of it. I thought it was fun to do. But yeah, I so when you said that, you know, this is what we were going to talk about tonight, I think I looked it up online and I think I read literally the first two paragraphs in a Wikipedia and I was like, I'm pretty solid that I know most of this anyways. The only thing I would say is I didn't realize that they seem to think that the genesis of them was It started about 10 to 12 years ago in popularity, and it was generally a way for these chefs just coming out of cooking school to throw dinner parties but charge for them so that they could get their name, they could start doing some name building, you know, some brand building.
Well, a little bit of brand building, and you know, you can search for investors, like, because everyone wants to own a restaurant. I don't know why. it's a tough job, and it's hard to make money at it sometimes. So it's an opportunity to find someone that wants to have to put some money behind you to say, I think you can do this. So, and you can show them straight up, this is what I can do, and this is what I want to do in my restaurant. So it's a great opportunity in that way.
I mean, in that respect, it's almost like an audition. I hadn't really thought of that.
Right.
Yeah, amazing.
It's got that. I feel like it's morphed a bit, and a few chefs that I work with, and they find it just entertaining just to get out there and do something a little bit different than the everyday, you know, grind.
Which is
always interesting. I mean, that's how I like to do it. And
Again, that's what we're talking about. Like, you know, you put together a menu at Atlas that you love, that you're proud of, that you stand behind, that is consistent. And that's one of the greatest things about Atlas is the consistency, of just years of consistency. But then that gives you that opportunity when you do one of these dinners. I mean, and it's not just the pop-up dinners. It's, you know, you do these special banquets and what have you for other people. And yeah, that gives you that opportunity to play with another set of tools that you're not getting to normally play with, right? Yeah.
So, I like the idea of presenting a full menu and having people actually having a dining experience instead of someone who, you know, that sort of just comes in and has that one dish and then leaves instead of actually spending some time. So I like that aspect. Not that there's anything wrong with, you know, sometimes you're hungry and you need to eat.
So then that's, what's the difference then in that? Because I, again, had gone to a pop-up dinner, which was, you know, somebody had literally converted their living room into a mini restaurant for the night. But then I also did a long table, which is sharing a lot of the same ideas. The chef had put together a 5-course meal with pairings. But this was in a restaurant atmosphere. It's just that this was that one night limited menu. That's it.
Right. Well, I think we're almost looking at two different things, but yet kind of the same philosophy behind it. It's a lot of, you know, having permits and permission.
Right.
You know, having the correct zoning. So a lot of this stuff is kind of thrown together at the last minute with a very select group.
Right.
And it's kind of a way, I guess, even just to develop a bit of economy.
Right.
You know, like a little bit of an underground economy to keep things flowing and keep other interests going that maybe couldn't be sustained in other ways.
Right.
I was lucky enough to go to a dinner just recently at a farm.
Okay.
And it was kind of, and they all, everyone who put on this dinner, and they said, they swore me to secrecy. They were honestly a little surprised when I showed up there. They were like, we didn't know you were coming. And I was like, oh no, I'm here. I'm like, and I'm going to enjoy this. And it was actually very strange for me to be sitting on the other side.
Yeah.
Or be sitting at the table. Sorry. I guess that would be the,
yeah,
the term I should say, whereas I'm used to being behind the table
or
in the back. And then I got to actually be the guest, which was kind of a strange feeling, but yet kind of really, it's interesting just to look at it from the other side and see how everything progressed. But an amazing meal, absolutely fabulous meal.
Wow.
I wish I could tell you more about who these people were, and maybe we'll get them on and they'll talk. But a lot of it's just a little underground economy just to get them, keep them going. You know.
And so was it, what, a 4-course, 5-course?
We did a 5-course, they did a 5-course dinner, which was fabulous.
Yeah.
And, I don't want to talk too much about it because I think we'll spoil it for later on.
No problem. So then, you know, like I said, I keep bringing up that I like doing it, but I know that it can be the sheer volume of work that goes into that one night. I know you've been like, I can't do that. I can't bring myself to that right now.
Yeah, it's such a tough thing. It was, because I can look tired sometimes and I can feel tired. And so just that whole commitment and trying to think about, okay, how many plates am I going to need?
Right.
How much cutlery am I going to need?
Right.
How much food am I going to need? How much, you know, what are the guests going to require? You know, just writing out the menu, presenting it to them, having them understand it, and just the twists and turns that go along with it, all of a sudden running out of an ingredient and not being able to do it after you've gone to the print,
yeah,
you printed it out and such. So you know, it was a lot. There's a lot to undertake in that whole situation.
Right.
No more difficult than any other restaurant, but sometimes it's nice to take a day off. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, you know, and it's funny how almost serendipitous that here just a couple of days ago you talked about doing this as a subject for an upcoming podcast, and then, you know, a friend reaches out and says, "Hey."
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's it. Because I'm looking at doing a couple things here.
Right.
So just because you're leading me down this
and
pushing me a little bit.
And you haven't actually committed to anything yet. So I'm wanting you to do it on the air or on air or on the tape so that you can actually say, yeah, we're going to do this.
Yeah. Well, I've got two things on the go right now, two different dinners. The first one I want to do is just a straight up Edible Valley dinner.
Yeah.
And I think it's just going to be, I don't know if we're going to sell tickets or whatever. Right. We're going to do this. We may actually give out a couple seats to people just to come in and ask some of the people who've been guests and stuff like that.
Right.
And I'm really interested in doing like an urban dinner.
Yeah.
And just because James, my neighbor there.
Right.
Your neighbor too. Yeah. Right in between us, who's converted his whole front lawn into nothing but produce.
Yeah. And he's an amazing garden.
And then he's taken over a couple of the neighbors. And I look outside, I look at my own neighbor, and he's done a bunch of raised beds in his front yard. And I see all this kale and char and all this great stuff coming up. So I'm like, I'm thinking to myself that I can, and with my own garden that seems to be coming in, I could actually put together a full dinner out in the back there.
Oh yeah.
And do something along those lines, a 4 or 5 course, and just play with that and just see how that goes. So
cool.
And maybe invite some of our past guests, maybe some listeners, if they're maybe interested in coming along, we'd love to have a little social gathering.
That'd be great.
It'd be pretty small, no more than 20, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I'm going with that one.
Yeah.
So that's
cool.
That's a fun, fun little dinner, and just to see what I can get from within the community.
When are you aiming to do something like that?
I'm thinking this is going to be in the fall sometime.
Yeah.
Like right with the harvest.
Cool.
Maybe after doing some berry picking or
like
some apple.
Like the first week of October, second week of October.
Yeah. Somewhere around there is where I would like to put that in there, and
great.
Be questionable on weather, but we'll.
Right.
Maybe we can borrow a tent or something from someone.
Yeah.
and just do it outside in the garden and see how that goes. So
cool. And then, so that's one of two. You said you had two things
on. And the other one, this is a bit of this one will be more, this won't be underground. This will be totally on board. But I've been approached by our friend Don from West Coast Provisions.
Right.
Who is kind of looking at throwing together a little downtown dinner.
Right.
So it'd be like a long table.
Yeah.
Which would be just one big long table down the center of 5th Street or maybe one of the other roads.
Yeah.
One of the side roads, but something downtown and maybe doing 60s. I don't know. We're going to.
Wow.
A few seats.
Yeah.
And then maybe join in with some of the downtown restaurants and see if they want to take on a course.
Cool.
So. It's very tentative. It's very...
Right, still just in the talking stage.
Very, very tentative. There's still permission from the city, permission from VHA, permission from everyone to make this happen. But kind of sounds like a really interesting, and a lot of people have been talking about doing something downtown for a lot of years now. So this might be kind of a way to bring some life to the downtown and have an amazing meal.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's great.
So I know this is definitely one that if this interests you and you want to hear more about it, I would definitely check out West Coast Provisions and check out their website. She's got a bunch of social media stuff that's going to come up once
everything's solidified and tickets go on sale. They'll go fast because there's very few.
Yes.
So be keeping an eye on that.
And this year we don't have flavor.
Right.
Because it's on a 1 year on, 1 year off. So this might be a little bit of the 1 year off, we'll do a little downtown dinner and see how that plays out for everyone.
Well, that's cool. That's great. We'll definitely have to keep up on the developments of it and see how it turns out.
And I think this is too, if there's anyone who's interested in getting involved and helping out with this, I'd definitely love to hear from you and love to bring you along if you want to join in and learn a little bit of culinary tricks.
That sounds great, man. I think I'm definitely going to be there. I sort of jump at these opportunities to get in and get behind the scenes more so than just at the front. You know, right. I like those times when I get to do prep. I know it sounds ridiculous, but I do. I love it. I'm putting together a big dinner for a lot of people and being behind the scenes. Yeah. Just as much as I like being in front of the scenes. So
yeah. It's a good show. So
yeah.
Anyways, I hope we've learned a little bit about dinners here. I think it's a little bit of us just rambling about how much we enjoy doing this stuff.
If I can interject really quickly, this is one of those times when I'd love to hear from everybody and hear about their favorite pop-up dinners or you know, any that might be coming up that we might want to, you know,
That's it. That's another reason. Maybe contact us because we are always hearing of these events coming up.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, they're not something we want to put on a Facebook site or publish anywhere. It'd be something that you can get on an email list. I know there's a few places that do it. And And also, there's a lot of establishments around here who do little dinners and stuff like that, wineries. And even some of the restaurants in town do their famous little dinners and stuff like that.
Yeah,
like,
I know. Absolutely. So yeah, let us know what you've heard or have going on or what you like to attend. We would love to talk more about it.
Yeah, and definitely. And if you have an event out there that you're wanting to talk to us about, we'd love to have you on the show. So we should give you some information on how to get in contact with us.
Yeah.
If you haven't noticed, it's the Edible Valley Podcast at gmail.com. You can send us an email there. Of course, we're on Twitter at the Edible Valley. Don't forget to check out our Facebook page, the Edible Valley Podcast. And where else can you see us, Darren?
Well, didn't you say just today that we're now registered with Google?
Google Play.
Google Play.
iTunes.
You can find us on iTunes, Google Play.
Stitchers.
The regular Podbean. You can find us there.
Yeah, definitely Podbean, our supporting host.
Yeah.
It's a great site. So there's lots of avenues to check us out and listen to some of our old episodes and help us support our local community here.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of supporting community, many thanks go to Kirsten Wood Music, of course, the Atlas Cafe, Ivan's Truffles, we have Butcher's Block, and the shout outs. West Coast Provisions really been behind us lately and throwing a lot of promotion our way. So thank you too to Don for that.
Yeah. And also let's not forget Signature Oil and Vinegars. They're always supporting and promoting our site when they come up. So
absolutely.
Thank you very much for those. And definitely we'd love to get, if you want to go on iTunes or any of those sites and write us a review, definitely check out our Podbean thing and subscribe to us. That always helps us sort of help push the message and keep things going. So
yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Edible Valley Podcast.